Acts chapter number 1, and then we're going to go to Revelation 12. And I know at some point while I'm preaching, somebody's going to say, you know, it's getting close to lunchtime. So I will do my best to deliver what I feel in the Holy Ghost to deliver here today and get in and out of this as quickly as I possibly can. Familiar passage here, Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 7 and 8. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power. How many of you are thankful for real power? I wouldn't be here without that power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word, everybody said word. Everybody said word. One more time, please. And by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. I want to preach to us for a few moments today about the word of your testimony. Could we put our Bibles down and one more time give the Lord a great and hearty hand clap of praise? Oh, let's serve notice that we're here to do business in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Both of these passages are familiar to us. One emphasizing a witness, and the other emphasizing a testimony. I do not believe that they are entirely synonymous, but there are some incredible familiarities between these two words. They both come from the same Greek word, which is martus. In some places, they are specifically and definitely witness, and in other places, it is definitely and specifically testimony. But there are some places that this word can be interchanged, and each word or either word could be used. We start out with a witness on earth in Acts 1. We end with a testimony in heaven. We start with the beginning of the church before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, which obviously this witness is prefiguring that which was to be experienced on the day of Pentecost. But it begins with the church on earth, with saints, and ends with saints in heaven. It references the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, in Acts 1, And it references the blood of the Lamb and a word of a testimony in Revelation chapter number 12. In Acts chapter number 1, they are to be a witness to the world. In Revelation chapter number 12, they are a witness to the great dragon. The Christian world among us is no longer witnessing in the 21st century. Social media has replaced one-on-one conversations. But I really believe in my heart that it really is our hour. I really do believe that a genuine Holy Ghost witness is what this world is waiting on. Hallelujah. In a recent study done by George Barna, a leading Christian statistician, almost one half of practicing Christian millennials say that evangelism is wrong. It's too invasive. It's too pushy. Less than half of a denominational churchgoers say that they have not shared with anybody, any other human being, their belief in the gospel in the past 6 months. And who can blame them? When you don't have the power. I hope you're going to help me preach here today, because I really do believe that it's our moment and our hour to shine like we have never shined. I really believe it's time for us to lift our voices like a trumpet and let people know on the job that there is a God, and He is experiential, and He is altogether lovely, and He is altogether wonderful. In the midst of so much more negative statistics that I won't bore you with here this afternoon, uniquely and synonymously, for many years now, it has been determined that Pentecostalism is the fastest growing spiritual movement in the world. In every dispensation, through every covenant, there has always been a witness. Even in the pre-antediluvian world, before the creation of the worlds, in Job chapter number 38, it records that with the laying of the foundations of creation, that the sons of God shouted for joy. There was an angelic representation that was a witness to the awesome power and creative prowess of an almighty God. God's Old Testament people, the nation of Israel, lost the testimony. And a child was born and named Ichabod to commemorate the occasion. It was approximately 400 years later before it was mentioned that the only thing remaining in the Ark of the Testimony were tablets of lifeless stone with do's and don'ts. Somewhere, Aaron's rod that budded had been taken out, and the bowl of living manna, one representing God's choice in the priesthood and the other one of supernaturally divine provision. I have often wondered why the nation of Israel, when they finally discovered that these two supernatural artifacts were missing, that great pains were not made for them to go into all the neighboring nations to locate and to be restored to these supernatural artifacts. But there was a time of a restored testimony. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out on all flesh, it was time for a new witness. I'm glad I'm in the church of the living God. I'm glad I'm part of a new testimony. Why don't we clap our hands and give God praise? In this restored testimony, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. They were moved off the Ten Commandments and placed into fleshly hearts. It became a living testimony. It became a living witness. But you are a chosen generation. Where it was Aaron's rod that budded, that was the sign of God's choice. We are now a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him that has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Oh, we got something to talk about. We got something to talk about in the 21st century. John chapter number 6, Jesus becomes that living manna, that living bread that comes down from heaven. There is somebody in the New Testament that exemplifies a testimony. Our friend Saul in Acts chapter number 9, we're all familiar with his story on the road to Damascus, seeking to gain permission for more devastation and persecution. But the Bible records his conversion when he is blinded by a bright light, and then he hears a voice, and then he must submit to Ananias. He must be baptized in Jesus' name. And this was now a new foundation for his new testimony. And Paul retold this conversion in Jerusalem in Acts chapter number 22. And he did not miss one of these components. He talked about a bright light. He talked about a voice. He talked about divine instruction. He talked about Ananias. He talked about God sending him into the uttermost parts of the world. He also recounted that in Acts 26. He talked about the bright light. He talked about the voice. He talked about Ananias. He talked about receiving instruction. In fact, he was so convincing with his conversion that somebody said, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian." We need to lift up our conversion story. It's wonderful and it's powerful. In fact, we need to leave this camp meeting in 2022 with a new resolve that we are not going to hide behind social media and a website, but we are going to connect one-on-one, and we are going to reach out to that person that's hurting, and we are going to use the witness that was given to us on the day of Pentecost. Somebody shout and clap your hands and give God great praise. It is the greatest medium of soul winning that we possess. Hallelujah. Tell your story. Maybe Agrippa will get it the second time. Don't give up on that alcoholic on the job. Don't give up on that broken marriage next door. Don't give up on the drug addict that lives in a crack house three houses down. I'm telling you, this is our day and this is our hour. It's time to witness like we have never witnessed before. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul reveals that his conversion was connected to a bigger story. When he said, I was the chiefest of all sinners, and I experienced what I experienced to be a pattern of mercy to them that should believe. But it's what he said in the book of Galatians that really astonishes me. When he said that God had his hand on me from my mother's womb. You're kidding me. For 30 years, you lived without truth and reality. You brought persecution and havoc against the church after the church's embryonic birthday. But Paul got the revelation that everything before me and everything after me is part of a bigger story. I often wonder why I didn't come to the truth any sooner. I often wonder why I didn't get saved till I was 30, a lot like my friend the Apostle Paul. But I've come to understand that God wanted me to relate to a group of people in our world that are lost and undone and needing a power and needing a glory and needing the reality and needing what God had. Don't hide your story. Don't hide your witness. Don't hide it. God will anoint it. God will break it. God will multiply it. Oh, somebody shout with a voice of triumph. Devil, we're coming. World, we're coming. Hallelujah. In 1982, I was a heavy metal rocker performing live in San Francisco. And during that performance, there was a voice that spoke to me. Approximately 1 year later, that voice spoke to me again when I put my hand on the door of that small storefront church that was being pastored by Brother Nathaniel Wilson. That voice spoke to me again. 2 weeks later, I was baptized in Jesus' name and saw the light. 2 weeks after that, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. I thank God that's part of my conversion story. But that is not my testimony. Brother Mayo, we want to hear the story of the rock and roll world. I don't want to talk about the rock and roll world. Brother Mayo, we want to hear about all those rockers you used to play with. I don't want to talk about all those old rockers I used to play with. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse number 11, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word. Everybody said the word. This word in the Greek is logos. Everybody look at your neighbor and say logos. I was first introduced to logos in John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the logos. And the logos was with God. And the logos was God. And the logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. My conversion story is one thing, but my testimony is another thing. My testimony is not about drugs and alcohol. My testimony is about the word of God that brought me out and kept me out. I don't want to talk about Black Sabbath, but I'll talk about Jesus Christ. He's big enough to call you out and to keep you out. He's big enough. Woo! Somebody clap your hands and lift your voice and give God the praise. I'm not an overcomer because of my conversion. I'm an overcomer because every single day that I need it, that word of God begins to work in my heart and influence my mind and is transfused into my actions and into my speech. That I'm just going to share just a little bit of my testimony with you. I'm just giving you a rare peek. By the end of this, I would have 100 pages or more, and you would too. All of us have the same thing. But these are scriptures that are so dear to me that not only brought me out, but kept me out. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. You say, ah, oh, that's just a little deal for the kids and the Bible quizzing. No. That kept Rick Mayo out and kept him from going back on drugs, from wanting drugs, from wanting alcohol. Somebody shout. We got a holy roller up here. Somebody needs to remember the pit in which you were dug and the power that brought you out and the power that kept you out. Let the prince of the power of the air know that we're coming. Oh, I love this one. For I am persuaded, Agrippa, you missed it. When I received my first Bible as a new convert, I still have it today, but I've got that thing all marked up. I've got it all marked up, and those scriptures are the ones that started building my testimony and building my story and build. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I need them to know that this love is never going to leave me. This peace is never going to leave me. This power is never going to leave me. It became the word of my testimony. Oh, I love this one. I can't live without this one. If we confess our sins. Oh, I got all kinds of them like that in there. How about this one? Created me. Created me a clean heart, oh Lord. You're going to love this one. You're going to love this one. Rejoice not over me, mine enemy. I'm preaching to you my testimony. My testimony is your testimony. It's the word of God. It is the word of God. It is the word of God. Somebody clap and lift your voice and give thanks unto God. As a new convert, I went through an incredibly dark and deep trial. I called up a great man of God. He told me, he said, there are some days that you just need to quote one scripture. And I asked him, I said, which scripture is that? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And so for days and weeks, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord, you have to understand, brothers and sisters, I had already made up my mind. I am not going back to the world. I am not going back to the pit. I am not going back to drugs. I am not going back to alcohol. I am not going back to unclean living. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And just that one scripture, it brought me through. It brought me all the way through. Just one scripture. Just one scripture. Well, what about your conversion story? That can't do me no good now. That was just the threshold. That was just to walk across the threshold into this great church of the living God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Get out of bed. Before work, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hours turn into days. Days turn into weeks. And all of a sudden it becomes, and the Lord maketh me to lay down in green pastures. The Lord leadeth me behind the still waters. What's he doing? I'm building a testimony. I'm not building it on my strength. I'm not building it on my credentials. I'm not building it on my education, which is broken and incomplete. But God was intertwining that living word into my heart and into my mind, where every single day, if the mercies are new every morning and the grace of God is sufficient. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Oh, I got a bunch of those kind of scriptures. I got a bunch of those forgiveness scriptures. I'm not ashamed. Bishop, that's my testimony. I'm not on this platform preaching to you today because I'm the personification of perfection, but I have a testimony of the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Oh, somebody shout. Oh, somebody lift your voice. Oh, somebody give him praise. Oh, somebody remember. Oh, somebody recall. Oh, see, la 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 la. Testimony is blood stained. Your testimony is blood stained, but oh, there's joy, and oh, there's peace, and oh, there's celebration. It's a little like temptation. I know a few things about temptation. You know a few things about temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for whom, when he is tried, shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. You might have messed up 100 times, but at some point, if you ever repent, when temptation comes, you're going to have to say, no, 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 not this time. Well, I already repented. I shouldn't feel temptation. You don't know that your repentance is real until temptation comes, and you said, not this time. Not this time. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week. It is the word of my testimony. Your testimony is not my testimony, and my testimony is not your testimony. But we all are on the same path where the word of God has got to meet us and to become integrated into our thoughts and our actions of everyday living. All right. So, Pastor, what do I do when temptation comes? What did Jesus do? For it is. He could have just quoted Deuteronomy 8:3 off the top of his head, but he said, I want my church to know it's in the book. That's all you need to shut the mouth of the devil. Oh, I would that somebody would leap. Oh, I would that somebody would shout. Oh, I would that somebody would praise the name of the Lord. It is the word of your testimony. It's the word of your testimony. again. You know the scripture. It's in Psalm 91. And Jesus, again, could have quoted it. But he said, for our benefit, for it is written. You want to know what? What? I think it's time to put social media, shut the smartphone off, put social media in its place, and pick back up the Word of God and get so lost within the covers of that book that we begin to see things that we've never seen before, and we feel things we've never felt before, and we move in ways we've never moved before through the power of the Word of God. The last time. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. You stand on the Word of God, trust me, you can defeat the devil. The devil just wants to see if you're going to stand on that or you're going to stand on your emotions. Honey, when you got the Word of God, you don't need a psychiatrist. When you got the Word of God, you got a wonderful counselor. When you got the Word of God, you don't need pharmaceutical drugs. You got the power of the Holy Ghost. It's all in the Word of your testimony. Now, our church uses all that, but I'm talking about on a personal basis. There are things in that Bible, there's things in that Word that I long to still see. And I believe it's going to start where it started in Acts chapter number 1. And you shall be witnesses. Everybody on the job needs to hear about what happened around here at First Pentecostal Church on Sunday. There was healing. There was miracles. There was deliverance. There was power. Woo! You may be seated. You're standing on the Word of God. You can be going through the valley of the shadow of death, but that Word is like a staff. That Word is like a rod that says, you just keep moving. I got you covered. You know what let's do? Somebody jump up right now and yell out your favorite scripture. Let's all stand up and quote your favorite scripture. Quote another one. Quote another one. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I shall not be moved. I need to call the musicians to their place. They're in a lofty place this year. Appreciate the music around this house. But I want to tell you something. This is not rocket science. This is not hard. This is not difficult. And I learned a long time ago that if I'm going to stay saved, I'm going to have to learn that book, and I'm going to have to allow that book to penetrate my mind and penetrate my heart so I can apply it to every situation and every temptation. Lift your hands and quote another scripture. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, devil, I still remember it. I still remember those one God scriptures. I still remember those scriptures in Jesus' name baptism. I still remember those scriptures in speaking in tongues. But Brother Adams, there came a time that I had to move away from all of the doctrinal remembrance of all those wonderful scriptures. And I had to start searching the Word of God for a situation. Listen, if you're struggling today, there is a scripture for it. If you need deliverance today, there is a scripture for it. If you need healing today, there is a scripture for it. It is the word of your testimony. Just remain standing. If I understand Revelation chapter 12, it begins in heaven and changes gears in verse number 13. It starts with a woman that's clothed with the sun. Then we have Michael and his angels battling the great dragon. Satan is already told that he will be cast down to the earth, but at this point, up until verse number 12, he's still in heaven. And I almost get the feeling that great dragon, my precious bishop, is looking at the saints saying, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And of course the answer is that they overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, and they love not their lives even unto death. But devil, I'm still here. Some of you have come through brokenness and you're still here. Some of you have come through devastation and you're still here. Some of you have come through incredible misery and torment, but you're still here. Because it's the word of our testimony. Somebody shout. Somebody clap your hands. Somebody give God great praise. I'm not going anywhere. I'm waiting for the sound of the trump. I wonder if there's somebody under the sound of my voice that you're like Demas. You need to come out of this present world and let God continue your testimony. I wonder if there's a prodigal somewhere that needs to get out of that pig pen and make his way back home and finish the word of your testimony. I wonder if there's somebody you need to say goodbye to that secret sin and once for all shut the door on that thing and let God continue to write your testimony. All over this building, let's lift our hands and let's begin to pray together by the authority of the name of Jesus. Maybe somebody needs to come forward here today and say, I need some prayer today. I need some reinforcements. I need some strength today. Church, why don't we make our way down and pray with these that are needing prayer here today? I want to finish my testimony. I want him to be the Alpha and the Omega. I want him to be the beginning and the end. I'm thankful for my conversion, but I'm even more thankful for my testimony. He kept me out. He brought me up. He brought me out. He brought me and put my feet on a rock to stay. Testimony and a fragmented testimony.